We don't have the notes. We'll talk about something else tonight. And this is something we take for granted. I think we take for granted is, I think we may have done this before, but talk about grace tonight. Grace. And do you know today, what we live in today, what is called what?
The age of grace.
The age of grace. The church age. A lot of people use say church age. Or the dispensation of grace. And we float that out, but what does that really mean? You know, I think one of the things that, Ed, you gave me that book, one of the things that I did notice is that when you talk about grace, people always say, well, there's always been grace. And that's true to a degree. But when you understand what grace really means, then you realize that there's never been a time called the dispensation of grace or the age of grace. And I wouldn't even say the church age, because a church is just a called out group. God has always had a called out group. So every age is a church age, if you look at it like that.
Yeah.
But there's never been a time where God has been giving out only grace. And that doesn't even sound right now that I think about it, because he's always been gracious. But, we'll look at it. The first thing is, we talked about last week, is number one, recognizing that there's two groups of people that God deals with. Mm-hmm. One is the Jew, and one is the Gentile. Mm-hmm. That's us. And when he dealt with the Jews, he always dealt with them.
He was just.
He was just. He's always just. Well, we'll use it this way. We'll say it this way. As he picked that nation out, he dealt with them the way they wanted to be dealt with. He wanted to deal with them graciously, but they would not let him.
I'm just thinking that Exodus 19, all that he said, we will do.
Is that 19?
We will do.
Well, let's look at, is that 19?
Exodus 19. And that's when he drew a line.
She drew a line, right. Right. 19, look at verse 1. In the third month, Exodus 19, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. That's we will just take 10. Just take the 10 commandments. And you can look at it. Just say you're a Jew. You've just come out of Egypt, out of bondage, right? He's just led you through the wilderness. He said, you know what? They went through 40 years, you know how they had to wander 40 years in the wilderness? Do you know why they had to wander?
Because they messed up.
Because when they got out, as soon as they got to the point where he was to take them in, he says, you pick out 12 and send them in and check it out. We're going to look at that. Look at Joshua. Joshua, I believe it's chapter 4. Look at chapter 5 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. Why not, Joshua? For the children of Israel walked, what?
40 years
in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed. Why did they do that? Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And the children of Israel, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. That's not the verse, but they were disobedient. And he had them wander. It only took 11 days to get from Egypt to the land he promised them. But because of their disobedience, he let them wander 40 years in the wilderness. And even this is where we talk about his grace. And even though he let them wander, he said, your shoes never wore out. Your feet never swole. Your clothes didn't wear out.
And he fed them every day.
He fed them every day. They got to the, can he get water? He can get water. The Lord brought us out to kill us. Every step of the way, he provided for them. So when he got to the point where they were going to the land, he even said, you check it out and see if I'm not telling you the truth. You know what I think about is salvation. When you go to a person and you tell them how good the Lord is, basically you're saying, you know what, you check him out. Don't take my word for it. You trust him for yourself.
Taste and see.
If the Lord is good. You check him out. And then it becomes a personal accountability. You don't trust him because I said trust him. You trust him because you found out that he is gracious. He is long-suffering. And his word is right. And you have something to bank on, not me, but you have this. Because Joshua and Caleb said this. He says, let's go. Because God said that we can do it. God told them they can do it. But they went over and they saw it. He says, the land, yeah, they have what he said. The fruit is good. He said, but the people are giants and we are grasshoppers. in their sight. And I really would like you to read those verses, but I'm just quoting them for time's sake. But they were afraid. They were afraid.
All of them?
All but two. Can you imagine that? You bring out a multitude of people, and you've seen. He said, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians." Mm-hmm. You've seen it, and all the surrounding people, they knew about it.
They saw it too.
We just read that their heart what melted. You know, they can say, "Have you heard what the Israelites are coming?" Oh God! Oh no! We can just fold up. And but they got there and they said, we can't do it. Because they didn't trust the Lord.
You know, it's so interesting when you were saying that. I was thinking about how the scripture talks about in the future that all the nations will say, we'll go with you because we know the Lord.
We heard.
Yeah, we've heard it. It's a totally different mindset come the future.
That's, yeah. Now, we read these things because the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. People tell you, you know what? We get to this. When I was in Detroit, and I used to have, you know, you have problems. Maybe you're depressed or you're dealing with some issues. And I used to go to my pastor and I'd say, what do I do? How do I get through this? And you expect him to, you know what, sit you down and give you this long, saged dissertation, you know, and you know, take you to some scriptures and say, this is how you do it, son. And we sit down, and he said, I tell you what, just trust the Lord. So, that's it? I mean, just trust the Lord? I'm like, you know, nothing else?
You wanted a PowerPoint with bullet points.
You know what? When Naaman was trying to cure his leprosy, and he went there, he says, he surely he'll come out and tell me to do this, that. And he says, he didn't even come out. He told him, just go dip in Jordan 7 times. And Naaman, he's up there with all his host. You know, the big captain of the guard, and he comes and he says, I'm looking for the man of God. I want to be cured of my leprosy. And he says, if he had asked you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? And he says, well, yeah. He says, well, why don't you do what he asked you to do? When you look at this, it's, you see the graciousness of God is really, they should have got there and said, look at Hosea chapter 14. This is what they should have said. And this is what they will say. And then we'll get to us. Hosea chapter 14. He says, let's see. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. If you went to Joel, you went too far. Daniel, not far enough. Hosea 14. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him. Say what? Take away all iniquity and receive us. How?
Graciously.
So we will render the calves of our lips. That's what he wants them to say. He doesn't want to say everything you said we'll do. He wants them to say, Lord, just deal with us graciously. Take away all our iniquity. Isn't that what you want? Do you want to do you want the Lord to deal with you on an if-then basis?
Performance.
He says, okay, tell you what, Ryan, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you don't do this, then I won't do this. If you be good, we'll just say that, then I'll bless you. If you don't be good, then I'll curse you. Can you live up to that agreement?
No.
Anybody?
I'd raise my hand, but I know I'd be foolish.
and he knows. That's why he offers the remedy. In Romans, he said, we are being justified freely by his grace. By his goodness. His goodness, not your goodness. Because we're not good. And we think we are, but we're not good. And I like to do this every once in a while is, I don't say every once in a while, I mean often, when you start thinking more highly of yourself, mm-hmm. or even if you start thinking, you know, you're not worthy, or you aren't worthy, just sit down one day and you think about just a few minutes of how really bad you are. Just the stuff that runs, give it about 30 seconds. That's all it takes. See what runs through your mind. And then say, Lord, I want you to deal with me the way I think. Or bless me according to the way I think. Because he said, you know, he knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. So you can't cover up with him. You might come and cover up with us. Or I can cover up with you and say, praise the Lord, Ron. Hello, brother.
I love you.
But he knows. He knows. And that's what I love is the fact that I don't have to perform for God. Mm-hmm. So who are you? If I know I don't have to perform for God, you know what Paul said? It's a very small thing if I would be judged by you. He says, I don't even judge myself. He said, but I know one person who does, and that's the Lord. And I know he'll judge me righteously. And you know about, look at Romans 14. If it wasn't for his grace, we wouldn't have a chance. We wouldn't stand a chance. Let's say verse 7. You know what? Let's go back a little bit. Because the verse I want is verse 4. He says, who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of who?
Himself.
Of who?
Himself.
To who?
God.
Jesus Christ.
Every man, you know what? You don't have to impress me. I don't have to impress you. Because we know that we have one greater. And he says he is able to do what? Make you stand. What is What does that mean? That means, you know what? When you start thinking about performing and you know you fail and you say, there's no way that I could be saved. Not what I just thought or not what I just did. And the Lord says, it's okay. He says, in case you forgot, I have justified you freely by my grace. Grace is unearned favor. I heard one guy say this, and I love this definition. Grace is all that Christ is able to do for you. All that God is able to do for you through Christ. And that's a good definition. Mm-hmm. Because everything that he has is what? In Christ. Mm-hmm. That's why we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. He's rich in grace. He's rich in mercy. And he says, and you have forgiveness according to that grace. Think, what's the worst thing you ever done? No, don't say it. Don't say it. Just think it. What's the worst thing you ever done? And you know what? We still, as long as you are walking and breathing, you have room for growth. I shouldn't say it, that's actually digressing. But if you think about the worst thing you've ever done, and you think about that, God says, my grace is greater than that. Isn't that a song? It says, grace, grace, wonderful grace, grace that is greater than all my sin. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. That his goodness is greater than, look at Romans 6. His goodness is greater than what? Some of your sin.
Oh.
Most of it.
Oh.
Romans 6. Look at 5 and 20 before we go to 6. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded,
grace
did what?
Much more
abound. For, let's see, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it's a passage in John that said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that's not what we experience. That's not the dispensation of grace. But before, you know what the law said? By the law
is the knowledge of sin.
Is knowledge of sin. But he says, at the hand of the law, the transgressors died without mercy. If back before Christ, you broke the law, you paid for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
And it was severe and it was prescribed.
It was right. When they found out, you know, when they said, we caught this woman, we've caught her in adultery, the law said, thrust them both through with a spear. But the Lord was there and he says, where's your husband? And said, I don't have one. He said, you said that right. He said, but you've, to me, he said, you had five. And the one you got now is not yours. Ow. But he could have right there, he says, well, the law says, kill her and him. That's what it means by grace. He didn't come to execute the law, he came to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
So he could turn around and give you
grace.
What the law couldn't give you, which is grace. Didn't he? He said what the law could not do, and that it was weak through sinful flesh. He says he came and he did it. Didn't he? Mm-hmm. That he can give it to you, to me. So he can say, you know what? You don't have to struggle like they did. He says, I'll do it for you, and then I'll give it to you. Why you do that, Lord? Because you earned it? No. Because of his grace. Because of his great love wherewith he loved us. And he gives it to you freely. Romans 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, there are some people who said, well, if I sin, and that shows how gracious God is, our human logic, he says, well, why don't I just sin more? Because the more I sin, the more his grace shines. That's what, look at verse, what is that?
That's human wisdom,
mm-hmm. Where he said, verse, we've been slanderously reported. Mm-hmm. Let us do evil that good may come. I believe that's, chapter, and I know it's, I think it's in 5.
In Corinthians or in Romans?
No, it's, I think it's, well, you know what? We won't look for that because I won't find it. It'll pop up. But in Romans 6, he says that shall we, that's a question, hypothetical. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is?
It never be.
A little stronger than that. God forbid. God forbid. When he saves you by his, when he tells you, if somebody tells you, you can do whatever you want. If somebody frees you and says, Mike, I know you got a lot wrong with you, but I'm not holding it against you. And you are free to do what you want. Out of, if you're, you've been enslaved to sin, and he frees you, and he says, you're free to do whatever you want. And then you turn around and says, I'm free. I'm going to right back in sin. That's the equivalent to, and I'll use this example where back in, an Underground Railroad where they were slaves, and Harriet Tubman would go and free those slaves. And imagine you free a slave and you take him out, and he gets out from his master's boundary where he's been treated cruelly and oppressed, and then she sits right there and says, now you're free now. You go where you want to go. And he goes back to the master. That's ridiculous, isn't it? That's what God said. He says, I freed you from the bondage of sin, from the power of sin, and then you get free. And he says, if you appreciate that, then he said, I'll leave the decision up to you. And you turn around and go right back to sin. That shows that you weren't really appreciative of what?
Of your freedom.
That's why he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Look at verse 7. For he that is dead is what?
Free from sin.
Is what?
Free from sin.
Are you sure?
That's what it says.
Why do I sin?
You still got that nature with
him. If you're dead, you ain't breathing, so you ain't going to do no more sinning.
That's a... Well, he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Here we go. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but what?
Under grace.
Under grace. He's saying you are free.
Can I say something?
Yes.
That, unfortunately for me, when I came to know the Lord, I knew that I was freed. But I didn't know the rest of it. So what I knew is that I was freed from is I was freed from hell. And right. I didn't know anything about that there actually something had changed that I didn't have to sin anymore. I certainly could.
Right.
But I didn't know I didn't have to. And so I went on with my life as before, while this stuff that you're telling us takes us to a different place.
That's why he starts off, and by the way, this is the first book to the believers. I mean, it's some foundational information. That's why we went over those words, because you have to start with a foundation, then you build on it. And that's why we look at the words. What does this word mean? What do these words mean that God has written in this book? If I don't know what they mean, then I don't know what he's trying to get over to me. Okay. And he said, look at verse 3. The first three words says what? Look at verse 6. Look at verse 9. What is he banking on?
You know something.
That you know something. And if you don't know this, then what? You beat already, aren't you? A guy used to say this: your saved life, you won't be fruitful if you function in ignorance. And that's what we see around us, is our brothers, and we just say they're believers, our brothers and sisters are functioning in ignorance. Mm-hmm. And it just won't work. It won't work. I remember when I first got saved, I started in Genesis, because that's what first book, okay. And I think I got to maybe Noah. And I said, you know what, this is stupid. I can't. And I put it down for years, because I didn't understand it. But I didn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. So I put it down, and guess what I did? I did what an ignorant person would do. I turned back to the flesh, and I lived in the flesh. But I couldn't deny the transaction that had been made. Mm. When I began to do that, I said, I can't be doing this. It's like, I know this is not right. My conscience was eating me up, because the inner man was saying, you're killing me. Mm. I'm dying here, you know, experientially. He said, don't you know something happened? And you know what? As finally, that's where I believe, you know what? The Lord will send you somebody, a believer, And I was in Detroit. I just got out of college. I said, you know what? I'm going back home. I'm going to live it up. And I went back, and I began to live it up. Live it down, actually. And my cousin came by one Wednesday. And she said, why don't you go to Bible class with me one day? I was like, okay. But by being, you know what? You can be saved and be ignorant and not even know. Because your inner man, he's like, yes, go to Bible class, yes. And then your flesh is like, thinking of an excuse. And you know what? But I went. And then when I went, immediately I knew. I said, this is where I'm supposed to be. Because I was starting to learn. The inner man was beginning to be fed. And my pastor would always use the example, if you know, like the two dog example. If I got two dogs and I feed one all week and the other one I don't feed, which one do you think is going to be the strongest? That's what he talked about, the old and new natures. If you feed the old nature all week and you don't feed the new man, who's going to be stronger?
The old man.
The old man. You know what we spend? This is only an hour. You feed the new man for an hour, and then you go home, and we watch hours of television, hours of radio, hours of idle talk, and we just feed that old man, and he just, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of who's a, only thing I think of is Pee Wee Herman. You have a Pee Wee Herman new man, but you have an Arnold Schwarzenegger old man. Who wins that fight?
Schwarzenegger.
Every time. And that's why he says the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against the flesh. He says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But his grace, you know what his grace does? His grace just, look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5.
Where are we going?
2 Corinthians chapter 5.
A good example of what you were saying that I like to give the ladies at jail is, you know, it's like a radio, transistor radio. You can't be tuned to AM and FM at the same time. You know, you've got both within,
yeah,
but you can only pick up the one frequency. And what occurred to me as I'm listening to you, if you keep it tuned to this channel all the time, that's what ends up playing in your head, you know, because that's what you're feeding. And
right. Anything you can relate to, you know what? You know how it is. Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what? Garbage in, garbage out.
I don't know about you, but how many times have you gotten upset? You're trying to study or concentrate, and you've got a commercial or something playing in your head.
That's why we try to renew our mind. You know what? They just showed on the news. Well, I probably shouldn't say that. Anyway, they just had on the news where these children were at the playground and they were engaging in sex acts. These are children. They've learned that.
Television, SpongeBob.
They may have learned that. We don't know where they learned it. They could have learned it at home. But when you get saved, you're just a babe in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't read and grow, then you're carnal, just like a babe. And what do you think you're going to do? You know what he said? Paul said, I cannot speak unto you as unto grown folk.
Mm-hmm.
I have to talk to you like I talk to babies.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give you baby food because you can't handle the meat. And he says, that's not a compliment. Oh. It's not.
No, I understand.
but it's, I mean, that is one of the things where we can stay that way, but his grace is there to help us. His grace, when you think about what our 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He says, did you trust Christ? You trust him? He says, he died for you that you might live unto him. In other words, when he freed you, he says, you're free. He says, but I want you to go with me. He did buy you. Do you know when he saved you? He bought you. You belong to him.
Bought out of the slave market.
Okay, here's another one. Look at first. Hold your hand here and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 12. You know what? Let's back up. Verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. First three words.
Know ye not.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves. That's 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, Frank.
I'm just slow tonight. Every night, probably. You keep going.
All right. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such are all of you.
Such
and such what?
Were some.
Such were.
Some
of you, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's grace. You know what grace says? He said, you're free. If something's against the law, that means you have some regulations to go by.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says this, I'm going to save you, and when I save you, you are free. You mean free? What do you mean free, Lord? I mean free. He that the Son makes free is
free indeed.
Free indeed. You remember he met that man at the pool of Bethesda? You know what he said to him?
Do you want to be healed? No?
Well, he said, I like my version.
Okay.
He says, wilt thou be made whole? Whole. He's asking us that. You trust him? He's saying, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole?
Yes.
Or do you want to keep on doing what you're doing? Do you want to be made whole? And you know what the man said? He said what we say.
An excuse.
Gave an excuse. Mm-hmm. Well, how can I? Because every time I get up, somebody else goes in front of me. Mm-hmm. He just gave, you know what? The guy told me, excuses only satisfy the people who make them.
It's true.
And pick one. And the man said, okay. The Lord told him this. Get up. That's grace. He said, you know what? You too weak to get up to cross? I get up. And now I'm going to enable you to do that. And then you rise up. That's what he does for us. His grace enables. You want to be made whole? He gives you you have the power to do it. His Spirit dwells in you when you trust him. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
That he's in here?
Mm-hmm.
Not something you get on Sunday and then maybe he stays, maybe he doesn't. He's in there. Are we still in six? Are we still in six? Six?
Yeah.
Look at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined unto a harlot is one body? For the two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One spirit with him.
Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 19. What? Next three words. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is at the church?
In you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which is what?
In you.
In who?
In me.
In you. In me. And ye are not your own, for ye are
bought with
God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God's. Now, we may never known that. Did you know he bought you? When he died and you trusted him, he said, guess what? A transaction took place and I just bought you. You belong to me. Did you know you belong to the Lord after you trust him?
Mm-hmm. I never thought of it that way. But
that's why he said, know ye not? That's, and the Corinthians didn't know it either. That's why he had to write to them and says, don't you know what happened when you trusted him? That's grace when he says, I bought you, but you can do whatever you want to do. That's why he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. That means they're not profitable. You can do what you want. What's this guy that the diplomat guy who came over and they said he assaulted the woman at the hotel?
Oh, yeah. The guy that was head of the IMF.
Yeah.
IMF.
Those people come over here and they have immunity. And they use that political power, the political privilege to do what they want to do. And they, like Paul says, they use, you believers use their liberty as a license to sin. Mm-hmm. Or they use their liberty as an occasion to the flesh. That means you think about it, well, if the Lord saved me and I'm not going to hell and I'm saved by his grace, and if I sin, he still won't punish me, I can do whatever I want to do. And the Lord says, yeah, but it's not right and it's not profitable and I don't like it.
It's not in your best interest.
And it's not in your best interest and it's not in the believer's best interest, and you will meet me again. But go ahead and do what you want to do. And if his grace doesn't constrain you, then he says, go ahead. And the Holy Spirit's inside, and he's just rolling over. I don't know what he's doing, but I would imagine that he's like, we going there again? Like, oh, man. Or, you know, you're going to take me there again? We got to go there tonight? If he can talk to you, you probably he said, you said that again?
That's why we kill our conscience.
And but that's what grace allows to do that. You know, in our to move to the end here, we look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21 says, for he hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And look at chapter 6 verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know what? I can remember the day I got saved. I can remember the day I trusted him. And it was so, when I did it, I knew it. And I had went to this church, and I sat in the back. Every Sunday, I sat in the back. And I would sit there, and I'd go through the whole service. And when he got done, he'd say, Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Would you trust him? And I was like, yeah, I want to trust him. And then he'd do that. He said, if you trust him, he'd say, come down. That's where he lost me, right there. Because, I mean, it was back there, maybe from here to across the street. But see, I didn't know that I got saved from the first part. But when the minute he put some works in there, he took out the grace. He frustrated the grace. Because I thought, okay, I trusted him, but now I got to walk down there. And the minute he did that, I knew it was not going to happen. So I'd go home week after week while I was visiting, and I would go home thinking, man, I could have got saved today, but I'm not going down there. I'm not walking down that aisle. And I'd go home, and then, you know what? I'm not saved, so I just kept doing what I was doing. That's my mentality. And then you go back next week, and he does it again, and then you start making, you know what? I'm going to go down there when I stop this or when I get stop doing this. Because he's got you on a performance. It's not grace. He should have said, did you know Christ died for your sins? He was buried. He rose again. Trust him. Just him. You can be saved sitting right there. You don't have to come down here. You don't have to do anything else. Just trust him and his grace. And you know what? I would have got right there. I said, I got it. And I would have went home saved and knew it. But you know what gave me the conviction? I was at home and I was reading the book, Power for Living. A bunch of sports guys talk about salvation. And I'm reading it and I'm reading all these stories. And I was like, wow, I didn't know he was saved. I didn't know he was saved. And you get to the back and it says, Christ died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You can trust him. And it's by grace and not by works. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I've been going to this guy week after week and he never told me that. I could have been saved a month ago, 2 months ago. Then you get angry because you say, well, why is he doing that? And maybe they don't know. But now I know. And I embrace his grace. So when you go out and talk to somebody else, you know what? Don't cloud it up. You know what? It's by grace. And Paul, you know what? 2 Corinthians, and we'll stop there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know who Paul is, right? Who is Paul?
Our apostle.
Apostle to the Gentiles.
He was the baddest of the bad of the Jews.
Baddest of the bad of the Jews. But he's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he wrote this information for us. And verse 7. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He says to Paul, this is your apostle, he says, my grace is sufficient. You know what sufficient means, right?
Enough.
It's enough It's what?
Adequate.
I don't like that word. It's more than enough.
Sufficient means you're going to pass.
That means that he, you know what? What I have, it'll take care of what you need. And what the grace is resident in the Lord. And he says, what I, remember we were studying his name when he says, who shall I say sent me? And Moses, and God told Moses, he says, tell him I am, have sent me unto you. That means, you know what? Whatever you need, I will be that. That's what this is. He says, my grace is sufficient. He says, whatever you need, he'll be that. Now, they sing that old song in the South. We are in the South. Well, I was from Detroit, so that's what they say. He'll be your doctor in the courtroom. He'll be a mother. He'll be a father. And they sing that song. And turn it over to Jesus. He'll make everything all right. That's his grace. You know, they may have made the song up, but that's doctrinally correct. He told, Paul says, I besought the Lord three times. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need help. Bad. Lord, help me. And Lord, he gets to Paul. He says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect. You know, that's perfect is it reaches the end point. It reaches its desired effect. You know when the Lord can really work in our lives?
When you let him.
When you're down.
When you're down. When you're down and out. When you hit bottom, and you know you hit bottom. Because when you get, if you get halfway, and you say, I was almost down, but I got myself up. He says, no, you're not down far enough yet. He wants you down, down, way down. Where you say, Lord, help me. Then you know that it's all on him. He said, my strength is made perfect when you give up. Mm-hmm. When you get out of the way and let me do it, that's when I'm strong. Doesn't that make sense? You think about, you know what? You think about a person that says, I'm trying to be saved. Well, stop trying and let him save you. Hmm. Or I'm trying to live the saved life. Stop trying and let him live through you. And know ye not? That's how he lives through you. Know ye not? You start getting some information. He said, look at verse. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then what?
He is strong.
He said, then I am strong. He says, when I'm weak, he's strong. And I can remember the day that was real to me. I still remember it. And I ain't going to tell you what I was going through, but that was the end. That was the end for me. I knew it. And I got there and I said, Lord, I said, now I know what you mean. I'm done. And I need you. I need this verse to be real. I'm done. I said, if I get out of this, I know it's because of you. And I knew it was. I mean, I knew that was the answer, but I still had some kick in me. Like he told Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks. And I knew, you know what, when I finally got to the end, I said, Lord, I said, this day, this verse has to be real to me. Because if it doesn't, I don't know what the outcome is. And sure enough,
he answered you.
He was just waiting for me to give up.
He did what he wanted.
That's, you know what? And that's now, like I remember, I may have been 35. My pastor is, at the time, he was probably 70 something. He's twice as old as me. So for him to say now, for me now, I look back and reflect, and he would say, I say, I can't, how do I deal with this? And for him to say, trust the Lord, it makes all the sense in the world now. And that's what, because I see now that it is, you rely on his grace. Not just the goodness he displayed in saving you, but the grace that he has to get you through whatever situation that you're going through. He's there to do that. And it's not like a fairy tale where we, you know, some imaginary buddy that we have to get us over the hump. I mean, this is the Lord of glory that has his word and his grace that's able to sustain us. You know, he says it in Hebrews, he says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. If he can keep this, did you say that, Ed, last week? Where if we went a little bit this way, we'd burn up. A little bit that way, the earth would freeze. But the Lord, he said he upholds all things by the word of his power. If he can do that, don't you think he can keep us?
I don't know, we're some wicked damn people out there.
That's what he knows. But he's there for the wicked people. I mean, we're believers. And he's there. And his grace will even take a message like this and bless our hearts with it. Despite the speaker. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we pray that just a verse that you can take and minister to our hearts. Lord, we have to believe and learn that your grace is sufficient for us. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, we just need to get acquainted with what you've done for us and what you're able to do for us through the Spirit that dwells in us. Lord, give us the eyes of understanding. Lord, strengthen our hearts. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would just enlighten us to search, to find out the goodness that we have in you. Lord, to find out the things that are freely given to us from you. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to speak on your behalf. Lord, take your word and strengthen us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.